Welcome to the Soundtrack News for the week of February 21st, 2021. I'm Christopher Coleman.
And I'm Dane Walker.
The Soundtrack News is a podcast that features recent news from the world of film, television, and video game music, as well as the latest details about new and upcoming soundtrack releases. Today, we have four stories and a number of new releases to talk to you about, but we're going to start off with story number one, which is the ending of an era. The duo Daft Punk has called it quits and have split. Back on Monday the 22nd, they broke the news to the world via an 8-minute video entitled Epilogue, which actually was excerpted from a 2006 film, Electroma. Their longtime publicist, Catherine Fraser, did confirm that the group was splitting. The members of the group, Thomas Bangalter and Guy Manuel de Homem-Christo, formed the group back in 1993 in Paris and helped define the French touch style of house music. Some of their most noteworthy albums were entitled Homework, Discovery, Human After All, Alive 2007, and 2013's hit album Random Access Memories. And for film music fans, Daft Punk's contribution to the Tron Legacy soundtrack has garnered great attention and continues to this day. Back in July of 2020, there was rampant speculation and rumor about Daft Punk scoring the inevitable Tron 3 sequel, but as we know now, they won't be doing that. Originally, it was talked about in an episode of Light the Fuse, which is a weekly podcast about Mission Impossible, where Disney's president of music and soundtracks, Mitchell Leeb, said that he wanted Daft Punk to score the third Tron film. Leeb said, "We're looking at making a sequel to Tron Legacy now. We're making Tron 3. And he had spoken with Daft Punk's manager, Paul Hahn, about bringing the electronic duo on board for the score.
So the takeaway from this is Daft Punk breaks up. Who's going to score Tron 3? And the answer is, of course, Joseph Trapanese.
Let's hope there's nothing official there, but given his work for Tron Uprising, that seems like a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
From the musical perspective. Now, from the marketing perspective, maybe they bring in an M83 or something like that to give that same vibe and give them another name to market.
Absolutely. Our second story today is a really interesting article that came out of Den of Geek, who had an article about how the passion of Hannibal Lecter inspired a new opera about Dante. So 20 years after Hannibal, the movie's most haunting piece of music, Patrick Cassidy, that was the composer who was working with Hans Zimmer on Hannibal, had written a piece called Vide Cor Meum, and that has now blossomed into a full-fledged opera about love, hell, and Dante. So during the film, this was the interesting part about this. During filming, director Ridley Scott asked Hans Zimmer they basically commissioned an opera that they could use to film that opera scene in Hannibal in Italy. And composer Patrick Cassidy was working with Hans at the time, and he was a choral person. So Hans said, "Patrick, take it over. You can write this piece." So he wrote the piece, which is called Vide Cor Meum, and it took a poem, which Hannibal quotes regularly from Dante, and turned that into that whole scene with the opera, which for me is one of the best pieces of the Hannibal score. Zimmer's music is great, but I always remember the opera scene. That was what made me buy the album, actually. But the poem is, "Joyfully Amor seemed to me to hold my heart in his hand, and held in his arms my lady wrapped in a cloth sleeping. Then he woke her, and that burning heart he fed to her reverently, she fearing. Afterwards he went, not to be seen weeping," which is about Dante's first love. And so Cassidy wrote that theme for that little mini opera for the movie. When Ridley Scott heard it and when the De Laurentiis's heard it, that was the producer of the film, they were so thrilled by it. They just loved it. They put it in the movie immediately. They kept listening to it all the time, including using it at the funeral of Dino. I think it's Dino Laurentiis. Because they just loved it so much. And in the process, at the funeral, Martha De Laurentiis said to Patrick Cassidy, "When are you going to do an opera for Dino?" based on this. And so over the last year, Patrick Cassidy has composed an opera from the piece he wrote for Hannibal, but it's based on the life of Dante, which to me is an amazing little story. Here's this guy assisting Hans Zimmer on the film Hannibal, is commissioned to write an opera that sits in the movie, and then from that writes a true opera.
Now, when is the opera supposed to debut?
Well, it was supposed to debut last year, and I think there is no official debut date, just due to the fact of the pandemic. So it's ready to go, and it's actually being financed by the Martha De Laurentiis. So it's still connected to the Hannibal franchise. And he's gone on, Patrick Cassidy's now gone on and done another opera he's working on about King Arthur. He actually said that writing an opera in Italian was a lot easier than writing an opera in English.
Fun fact, I was in Florence when they were filming Hannibal, and they had part of one of the main squares locked down because they were filming. I was like, what's going on over there? And it's like, oh, they're filming Hannibal. I'm like, what?
So you were in Italy when Hannibal was in Italy, and you have lived to tell about it.
Yeah, I got out of there as fast as I could.
Paralleling that, there was another little interesting tidbit this week about songs and soundtracks. There was apparently an unused Bruce Springsteen song for Harry Potter. ScreenRant.com did an article about this. The author was Kara Hadesh. I hope I said her name correctly. But she was talking about, apparently, Bruce Springsteen, after reading the Harry Potter books to his children, wrote the song titled I'll Stand By You Always and sent it to Chris Columbus to be used in the very first film. But they had a deal with Warner Brothers that they couldn't use commercial music in those films. So they were only going to stick with, of course, John Williams' music. So they couldn't use the song. The song got passed over, and it came back up in February of 2017 and was eventually attached to the 2019 film Blinded by the Light. But it is also amazing that Bruce Springsteen wrote a song for Harry Potter after reading the books to his kids.
Who would have thunk that? I mean, of all the artists in the world, they would come to mind.
I know, the guy's driving a Jeep in commercials, and he wrote music for Harry Potter. Amazing.
Yeah. Now, maybe for the what's the new one called? Fantastic Beasts. Maybe, maybe you could make that stretch. But Harry Potter?
Oh, no.
I mean, at least Fantastic Beasts is here in the U.S. You know what I mean? At least it's, you just don't think of Bruce Springsteen when you think of England. I don't. Anyway,
of course not. He was born in the USA. What are you talking about?
Exactly. All right. Well, our fourth story for this episode is rather breaking information that comes courtesy of Film Music Reporter. And that is that Tom Holkenberg, otherwise known as Junkie XL, has been set to score George Miller's Furiosa, which of course is the sequel to the Mad Max Fury Road film. And also, he will be scoring Netflix's Army of the Dead prequel and anime series. Tom Holkenberg confirmed during a recent appearance on the Film Junkie Vodka stream that he would be scoring the sequel to Fury Road. Holkenberg scored the film last year, and it will premiere on Netflix on May 21st.
So there's going to be a Furiosa, which is a prequel to Mad Max Fury Road. Correct. Is it a prequel to Mad Max?
No, it's a prequel to Fury Road, which stars Anya Taylor-Joy in the title role, alongside Chris Hemsworth, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and who else? That's it. Those are the big names. So kind of sad that Charlize Theron's not coming back, but I'm assuming they're going very young, but years and years and years and years before, I assume. So let's move on to our new releases for the week. The first one we have actually isn't new in terms of it being available for purchase, but it's been newly or recently released in terms of shipping. And that is Solo, A Star Wars Story on vinyl, the 2 LP release from Mondo Records, recently started shipping, even though pre-orders were taken all the way back in December of 2020. Of course, the only place you can get it is on the Mondo site. But if you're a vinyl lover and you love the music of John Powell and John Williams, this might be something you want to pick up. The second new release is also on vinyl, The Trial of the Chicago 7, composed by Daniel Pemberton, released by Verez Sarah Band, and just released this Friday, the 26th of February. And of course, it's on vinyl, and you can find it at the Verez Sarah Band official site.
Also released Friday was Raya and the Last Dragon by James Newton Howard. That was released by Walt Disney Records. It's on all digital platforms. And I actually was just listening to it right before we popped in here. And it is a load of fun. It's a good score, as expected. James Newton Howard should just always be doing Disney animations. And Disney. James Newton Howard should just do Disney. Okay.
Why not?
We also had, also released on Friday was, although it's an exclusive release, was the score for the film Cherry, composed by Henry Jackman, released by Lakeshore Records. It was exclusively released on iTunes on Friday, February 26th, and the all-digital release will be on Tuesday, March 30th. And finally, Blake Neely and Sherry Chung released their score for Batwoman, on the record label Water Tower Records, which was also released yesterday. That's digital wide. They also released the scores to The Flash Seasons 5 and Season 6. They do amazing work at Cow on the Wall for all those superhero films.
I mean, they've got the CW superhero universe on lockdown.
No kidding.
Until.
They're literally on lockdown and also locking it down.
Until the announcement from last week.
That's right. Superman and Lois. And, oh, you know, we were wrong last week. We need to correct ourselves. I said last week that the spoiler alert was that they had a kid. They have two kids. I should have gotten that right.
Oh, I knew that, but I guess I didn't say anything.
Oh, because I thought it was just one kid because I was thinking Superman Returns, but apparently they got together twice and they had
at least.
All right.
Well, and then just a quick final story in case you are a great user of Amazon Music. It's now available on Google TV and Android TV. So nice. Amazon Music lovers, rejoice and listen to music through your TV more, apparently.
Right. But hook it up to a nice stereo system, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Soundtrack News. You can subscribe wherever you find quality podcasts. And wherever you do, please take a moment to rate us and leave us a review, especially in these early days. It will really help get the podcast out there and more eyeballs on it, but more importantly, more earballs on it. So take a moment to rate us and review wherever you do listen to this podcast. Soundtrack News is produced and hosted by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can follow me at C. Coleman, but also my co-host and co-producer, Dane Walker, is here, and you can follow him on Twitter at...
You can take your earballs and follow me at Maestro Dane on Twitter.
What will they hear on Twitter if they follow you there?
You know, actually, there is a link to some of my music on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Got it. If you have some soundtrack news that you would like to send our way or just give us some feedback on the show, we have a nice handy-dandy email address for you to use, and that is thesoundtracknews@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, @soundtracknews. But on Twitter, we don't have a Twitter account. So we're just going to be using @TrackSounds because the Soundtrack News is presented by TrackSounds. So until our next episode, thank you again for listening, and we look forward to bringing you more Soundtrack News very soon.